God is so good. All the time, God is good. This is our last part of this series on dealing with sandpaper people. So before we get started, though, let me read this to you. Then we're gonna read the scripture. A DEA, or Drug Enforcement Administration officer, steps at a ranch in Montana and talks with an old rancher. He tells the rancher, "I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs." The old rancher says, "Okay, but do not go in that field over there." And he points out the location. The DEA officer verbally explodes and he says, "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me." Reaching to his rear pants, he removes a badge and proudly displays it to the farmer and says, "See this badge? This badge means I'm allowed to go wherever I wish on any land. No questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand?" The old rancher nods politely, apologizes, and goes about his chores. A short time later, the old rancher hears loud screams and seeing the DEA officer running for his life, chased close behind him by the rancher's prized bull. With every step, the bull is gaining ground on the officer, and it seems like he's getting ready to get horned before he reached safety. The officer is clearly terrified, and the old rancher throws down his tools, runs through the fence, and yells to the top of his lungs, "Show him your badge, sir! Show him your badge!" I thought that was cool. All right. The first 25 times I said it, yes. Thank you, Eddie, for letting us know that. The man who tells the same joke 50 times in one surplus. Yeah, thank you, Eddie. All right. Here we go. Yeah. Speaking of sandpaper people, how many people, just a few slides, so we can keep it going. How many know people who remind you of this, like hands on a chalkboard? We all have them. We have them in our past. We have them in our present. I promise you, you'll have them in your future. I promise you that you'll no way and no how going to find a way to avoid all the sandpaper people in your life. Sometimes you're married to them. Sometimes they're in your family. Sometimes they're your kids. And what happens is you may know somebody who's very easy to get along with, and something along the way happens and their attitude changes and they become sandpaper people. So when you know this is not the normal way they act, especially then, you have to learn how to be lenient and ask God to help you, because this is not their normal way they handle things. So here you go, sandpaper people. All of us can be grumpy and difficult to deal with from time to time, and we all will encounter folks who behave the same way or worse. When you deal with difficult people, the following tips should help. Get your Bibles out and stand for the reading of the Word. God is so good. All the time, God is good. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1, "If to be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness as of men." Stretch forth your hands and say, "Father, we love you, we praise your name, we thank you for your grace, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're more than enough to meet every one of our needs. Right now, God, touch us. Touch our bodies. Touch our minds. Touch our attitudes. Lord, we thank you for all the things you do for us at all times, Lord. I know, Lord, there's times in our own life where we're just not ourselves because of the stress that we're under or because of the problems we may be facing. And when that happens, sometimes we become sandpaper people. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to open our eyes to all of this and to use this sermon today to really, really help and spread some light on everything in the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. Leave it there. The future is ahead of us. Reach forward. God is with us. Reach up. And nothing shall be impossible. God is so good. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, yeah. So here we go. Again, this is last week we talked about. I love this. I had to put it back up there. Don't mistake this fake smile and professional body language. I'd punch you in the throat if I know I wouldn't lose my job. Have you ever been there? Amen, amen, amen. Kind of like when they had that ladies' conference and they said, the lady up there said, is there anybody here wants to mother their husband? And the lady stood back in the back and raised both hands. She said, you want to mother your husband? So I'm sorry, I thought you said smother. Okay. Difficult people are a part of life. You cannot avoid them. I can say that one more time. You cannot avoid sandpaper people. They're going to be, they're a part of your life. And sometimes you're the sandpaper person and you can't even stand yourself. Amen. So if you don't deal with them correctly, they'll sap every bit of energy you got. They'll weigh you down. But if you do it correctly, if you deal with it the way it should be and give God all the glory and honor and give Him the battle, guess what? Both of you will come out better. So I thank God for that. For last week we talked about the don'ts, so we're going to talk about a few more of the don'ts. While we can't control someone's negative behavior, you can control how long you participate in it. Yeah. So here we go. Here's the don'ts we did last week. Do a self-check. Don't be the one being difficult. Number two, don't try to change the other person. Number three, don't lecture them. Number four, do not protect them from consequences. Number five, don't allow yourself to be caught up in the other person's emotional outburst. You see, when you get caught up in another person's emotional outburst, you know what happens? If someone is ranting and raging, or worse, you have the right to get up and leave. Chew on that for a minute. You're trying to have a discussion and it becomes an argument. And you can't get them to calm down so you can talk to them. All you got to say is, I will come back when we can have this peacefully. But until then, I'm going to go protect myself and you. And inside your head, you're going, because if you don't, I'm going to punch you in the throat. That's in your head, okay? But don't say that out loud. Okay. Because remember, emotions are highly contagious. If you but you can become angry also just by being around somebody that's angry. So make the conscious effort to remain calm. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your own soul. Wow. That's very powerful. I love at the bottom, you know, when my first wife died and I was getting remarried, I said, God, you got to send me Miss Wright. I had no idea that Linda's name was Wright. I also had no idea that her first name was Always. All right, so this came from her. She used to say it all the time when they were introducing their family. Two wrongs don't make a right, but three less make a right turn. All right, here we go. We're going to do the do's now, the doobies, all right? Don't let people misbehave in ways that don't serve you. Stand up for yourself, okay? Here's the very first thing you got to do is if you're being mistreated, sometimes we're mistreated physically, sometimes we're mistreated emotionally, sometimes we're mistreated spiritually. But if you're being mistreated, you're not a dish rag. You're not a floor mat. If you're being mistreated, no matter who it is doing it to you, remember, there comes a time if you're going to start taking, you need to start taking care of yourself. And so what you do is it doesn't require an angry outburst, but in a very calm, mature, resolute manner, start taking care of business and stand up for yourself. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. She may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's going to help you do this, and I will not fear what man can do to me. I remember multiple times I would be talking with somebody, and they would get all, not just at work, but even in the family, they would get all bent out of shape and be ready to throw down and fight for whatever reasons it was. And I'd just say, and I knew I was being mistreated, so I'd say, look, this has got to stop. If you want me to help you, then you need to act more like you want me to help you. Not that you deserve me to come over here and throw everything down and help you. You know, we got two cats. Now, one of those cats is named Oatmeal. Oatmeal, no matter where I'm at, if I come in the house, Oatmeal will run up to me and just put her back up for me to hug her and start doing her back. And so we got a little joke going. Linda will say, let's just quit everything I'm doing and rub Oatmeal right now. Well, there's some people like that. They will mistreat you. They want you to stop everything you're doing. Good, bad, or ugly, stop it so you can take care of their problem. And sometimes their problem, they started their self. And if you keep taking care of it, they will never learn how to get out of that problem. So, you need to learn to take care of yourself and quit being the answer person that takes care of all the problems and the other people never take care of their own problems and you wind up taking care of your responsibility and their responsibility. You're not doing them a favor. You're doing them and yourself a misservice. So stand up. Stand. I'm not saying be mean. Very calmly, very mature. Say, look, you know what? We've done this 100 times and nothing's changing. So this time, we're going to do this different. I remember DC and Daniel both told me one of the greatest things I could have ever done in their life was quit fixing everything for them. And let them fix it theirself. They said, you know what, Dad? You made me a man. You made a man out of me. And not only that, but you made me learn that I got resources in me that I hadn't tapped into. And so I'm glad that you quit trying to fix everything for me and let me work on it. And it's I'm not talking about an air conditioner or an electrical problem. I'm talking about they went and they did something crazy. And you go in and try to take care of the crazy stuff they've done. No. Stand up for yourself because you're not doing yourself or them any good. You're being abused by the person that says they love you. Stop it. Very simple. Stop it. Because if you don't stop it, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's my Timber one time said, Go ahead. This was a very wise man told me. He said, go ahead. You keep fixing everything, and when you're dead and gone because you can't take it anymore, they'll find somebody else to fix everything for. I know it's strong, but it's good stuff, good medicine. I'm glad we got the next two coming up. All right, ready? Forgive others as quickly as you expect God to forgive you. How many here, when you get in trouble, you quick to say, God, I'm sorry. Aren't you glad he goes, and it's done? How come when people ask you to forgive them, you want to walk around and think about it for like 6 weeks? Maybe never forgive them. And say things like, I want you to hurt as bad as I've hurt. That's bad. Because you know why? Because if it hurts you, you don't want anybody else to have that kind of pain. So get ready. If you can't forgive those who hurt you, you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting anyone else. You mess up your digestive system. You mess up your ability to think. You mess up your ability to sleep. you mess up your ability to even have a good relationship with anybody else. I think the most stuff that I do and all these people I counsel, either to be either inmates or outmates, either way, they're locked up or they're not, in any other areas that I'm at, that I'm talking to people, one of the biggest things I find myself doing is teaching people how to forgive others. So it's amazing. You would think, that is so simple. It might be simple, but so many people are harboring resentment and hurt, and they're thinking if they keep harboring it, they're hurting the other person. They're not. They're just hurting themselves. And so here it is. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Does that mean that if I don't forgive somebody, I'm a born-again Christian, I don't forgive somebody, I'm going to go to hell? And that's not what that means. That means you're going to live hell right here on earth. It's amazing that you might get mad at somebody and eventually forget why you're mad at them. But when somebody says their name, all of a sudden you're getting ready to get calm. You go, whoa, I got to remember, I'm mad at them. What you mad about? I can't remember, but I know I'm mad at them. I've seen people do that. And it's not cool. It will kill you, put you in an early grave. So learn to forgive. Do forgive. Here goes my favorite one, my favorite of all. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now, dries up the bones. What is in your bones? Bone marrow. What is being passed around in your bones? Nutrients and blood. And so, dries up the bones, meaning there's no nutrients flowing. There's no blood being able to be through there. So a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So look, I love this. Learn to laugh in difficult times. I have found out no matter how bad it is, if I can learn to laugh, it makes things a whole lot simpler. I laugh a lot. I laugh all the time. And sometimes I even feel ashamed of myself because I get laughing so hard about things. But that's my first go-to response, is to laugh. How many is in there like this? Your first response is to laugh. Yeah, it's in there. It's just something built in you. You just want to laugh. And people might get offended. I don't mean for you to get offended. That's just how, that's just the way I'm. But, you know, some people think it's a sin to laugh. They think Jesus walked around going, thou shalt not laugh. Thou shalt not have fun. The Bible said the kids loved him. The children loved him. You know, they would not have gone to Jesus if he'd have been like this. They loved Jesus because he was full of joy and he was full of laughter. So life has a lighter side. Look for it, even when times are tough. Now I got some translations here. The Message says, laughter is a medicine for the soul. So take your medicine early and take it often. The New Living Translation, if you've been coming to church on Tuesday nights, we talked about it this week on how the Bible was translated, and there's three main translations, and we don't want to talk about it now, but we're learning because we're going through a 13-week course on how to study the Bible. And so New Living Translation is thought for thought, all right? So here it goes, the New Living Translation. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit zaps a person's strength. There's another scripture, Proverbs 15 and 13. And it says, a glad heart makes a happy face, but a broken heart crushes the spirit. New Living Translation. Let's look at that in the Message. A cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. I make it a point to laugh a lot. You got to. Quit taking yourself so seriously. I've learned to quit taking myself so seriously. If I mess up, if I get an egg on my face and they're laughing at me, I'll laugh with them. Because you know what? Sometimes it's just plain out funny. I've messed up. It's funny. I'll laugh right along with them. It's okay. Learn, do, laugh. When you're dealing with difficult people, I don't mean laugh at them, just laugh because of the situation. And then you must take personal responsibility. You cannot change the circumstance, or you cannot change the circumstance, the seasons, or the wind, but you can change yourself. You cannot change the wind, but you can adjust your sails. There's something that you have charge of. It's how you handle the situation. So, the last one is do accept personal responsibility. Make your own corner of the world peaceful, productive, and purposeful. If your world's a little crazy, perhaps it's time to look in the mirror. How many actually, when things are going crazy, stop and look in the mirror? You see, no one can drive you crazy unless you give them the keys. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When things are going crazy, I'll go look in the mirror and I'll repeat the word of God to myself. My mama, back in the day after open heart surgery, it was very, very bad. And they used to take people around and show them, it's like in Raleigh hospitals, they would show the family members other people that had open heart surgery so you could see all the tubes and all the stuff coming out of their mouth and the breathing machines and all this stuff and how they were swelled all up. They would go and let people see this so when they saw their loved one, it would at least take a little bit of the shock factor away. But at Pitt, they didn't do that. And my mama had her first open heart surgery. She had 9 blockages. And so they had to go in and just do a whole bunch of work. And when they got through doing the work, she was in there in intensive care. And they said, you can come see the family now. And at that moment, I was the pastor of my family. And I knew that it was going to be crazy. So I tried to prepare everybody. I said, y'all, what you're getting ready to see may take your breath. It may hurt you, but just know that mama's okay. This is normal for somebody that's gone through what they've gone through. I remember walking in, and she looked worse than I was expecting. It was bad. She was all blowed up. Her tongue was hanging out of her mouth. Everything was swollen, and she was red, and had all these tubes coming out of her, and the machine was breathing, and all this stuff. And my family just started weeping and even crying. And I don't know what hurt worse, what I saw or what was going on with my family. And I just held everybody and we prayed. And when we got through, we walked out. And I said, let's go in here where we can just get a deep breath and just sit for a minute. And before we went out, I said, I got to go to the bathroom first. And I went to the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. And I said, suck it up, buttercup. God needs you right now to be the pastor of this family. Now you suck it up. You get out there and you do what God's got you. And you get out there. I remember the first time when we were getting Bethany and when we actually had been keeping Bethany, but in order for us to become her foster parents, we had to see the film where they took her out of the home at 2. And so Bethany was 4, but at two is when her stepdad had beat her and broke her face in a wall and hit her so bad they put clown makeup on her to take her out. And his sister turned him in. And they said, now before, so you can understand why this girl acts the way she does. And they said, sit down. And me and Beverly sat down and said, watch this film. And they were talking, and Bethany was 2. And they started taking her clothes off. She had a man's handprints right here on her face. Her teeth were chipped. She had bruises on her face. And they started taking her clothes off, and there was cuts and bruises all over her body. There were a place that big around that did not have something. And she was just beat up all over the place. They'd been beating her. She was beat up. Her face was broke. And she was bleeding from her bottom. I've never seen that. All these years and all the things I've done, I've never seen that. And now here's my wife needing me to be strong and the social worker wanting to know how I'm going to handle this. I said, I'll be right back. I started getting so hot. I said, I'll be right back. And I went again and looked in the mirror. And I said, all right, this little girl needs you. Your wife needs you to be strong right now. This took you by surprise. It did not take God by surprise. And I looked in the mirror and I said, you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. He's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I took a deep breath and wiped my tears and I walked back out there. And I will say this, though. They said, I calmed down. And they said, Mr. Linton, you okay? I said, I'm fine. And then they asked me, said, if they gave you a chance to go to that prison and minister to that guy, would you? And I said, can I? And they said, what do you mean? I said, can you put me in a room with him for just 5 minutes? And they said, what are you going to do? I said, well, pray for him. And I said, okay, Mr. Linton, tell us, how are you going to pray for him? I said, like this. And that's the truth. And she said, I don't think we're going to let you go pray for him. I said, I think it's a good idea. And later on, when he got out, he threatened me. He was going to get me and Bethany both because we put him in prison. And I kept testifying against him for 3 years. Every time I find myself in a bad situation like that, I go to the mirror. When Bethany died, I'm going to do the funeral. I go in that bathroom. I look in that mirror and I said, God, you said I can do all things to you. You're strengthening me. Bethany asked me to do this, and this is the last thing I can do for her. I'm going to do it. Thank you with your help, God. So every time that happens, I look in that mirror and I talk to myself and give myself the word of God. Let me ask you a question. Instead of sitting down and beating yourself up and talking over and over and over again, have you not learned great lessons from those who braced themselves against you and disputed passage with you? Those difficult people, they actually wind up teaching me a lesson. Those difficult situations taught me a lesson. Because honestly, it hasn't made me hard-hearted, the things that we've gone through. What it has done is made my heart prepared for what's come. Made it tough, not hard, tough. And I thank God for that. Next time you're going through something, somebody's driving you crazy at work, go to the bathroom and look in the mirror and say, somebody's beating you up at work, and you go in the mirror and go, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, you're going to condemn. But that's my heritage, God, and I'm standing on it. And I always end it with, suck it up, buttercup. And I go back and get in the middle of whatever I'm in. God's got you. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how difficult the people get, God's got you. Lord, let me be a light for you in the world today. Y'all say that with me. Lord, let me be a light for you in the world today. Say it again. Lord, let me be a light for you in the world today. And we're gonna end with this thought. Brandon, come up here and get ready to play something, bro. Same thing we ended with last week. Note to self, today, so I can have peace, I will pray for the difficult people and situations I'm dealing with. I will not repeatedly rehash everything in my head. That's why I go to the mirror, because I want to shut down that rehashing in my head. That rehashing is some bad stuff. So I go to the mirror, and I reprogram my thinking. I look me in the eye, and once it comes out your mouth, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the preached word of God. I preach it out of my mouth. I look in the mirror. I preach it. It comes in my ears and it comes down to my heart. I am not going to keep rehashing everything in my head, because that's just going to mess your entire day and how you handle the situation up. I may have to pray 50 times, but that's better than time. Better is better time spent and more productive than just dwelling on something or somebody. Everybody stand. I don't know what we're doing next week, but it's going to be a little bit lighter, I promise you. But then we're going to start doing moving toward Easter. So we're going to start doing a lot of Easter stuff. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're all dealing with difficult people. We're all dealing with difficult situations. But I promise you, nobody else may know what you're going through but you, but there's one more that does know, and that's God. He knows what you're going through. And if you lean on Him, He'll give you strength. If you lean on Him, He'll give you wisdom. If you lean on His Word, it'll give you hope. So no matter how bad the situation is, no matter how coarse the sandpaper is, God's got you. And God's going to take care of you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, but anybody here right now, say, Pastor, I really need, number one, to get myself back right with God, because I have become my own sandpaper. I need to get myself back right with God so I'll quit being my own sandpaper, my own worst enemy. If I'm talking to you right now, with nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, I need to get myself back right with God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with sandpaper people, and they just won't leave you alone. You can't run from them because you're kin to them. You can't run from them because they're in your family. You can't run from them because you're working with them. So instead of running and hiding, do these things. That I've been talking about, the don'ts and the do's. Take care of that. I promise you, it'll make things a whole lot better. And most of all, learn to look in that mirror and talk to yourself, so you can break that negative pattern and those negative thoughts, and speak the word to yourself, so your faith will rise up in your heart. It works. I know it works. It works well. If you're here today and you're dealing with sandpaper people and you're needing God to give you a good old dose of wisdom and understanding and to help you deal with these people, if they're still there and they're not going away, maybe God's called you to help teach them versus them aggravating you. Maybe you're there to help them. If you're dealing with sandpaper people and you just need God to give you an extra boost, would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you just need God just to touch all of you. Just touch me, my family, everybody around me. Just touch them. Lord, we all need it. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are awesome and that you're in control and that nothing is impossible for you. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint, to have your will and your way in our life. And I thank you, God, for helping us with sandpaper people. Even if we're the sandpaper people that's hurting our own self, I thank you, God, for delivering us today. We rededicate our life to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, don't let our hearts grow cold. Don't let our hearts grow calloused. But Lord, toughen us up so we can handle things. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. We are going to say the Lord's Prayer. And then after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Benny to dismiss us a prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.